Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello, and welcome to this Investec Oaks podcast. I'm Maddie Plough, and I'm joined by Nick Watts in the studio. Paul Keeley's on the line as well, and Niall O'Reilly, who has such a ridiculous tipping record when he's on these shows, is joining us as well. Today we're going to be previewing every single race on the opening day of Epsom Derby Festival, kicking off with the big one, the Oaks. And there's all this talk about the ground, Keels. You don't live far away, and you've said that they've missed everything so far, rain-wise.
Well, they've missed everything this morning, which is Thursday morning. I mean, the ground is still very soft. I mean, they said the far side on the straight course is 5.0 on the going stick, and it's been heavy. With that sort of reading before.
Blimey.
And of course, the other thing is it's 5.5 on the stand side. That's a big difference. And it may lead to them coming over. They quite often do when the ground's really deep. And quite interestingly, from last season, the last meeting last season was run on heavy ground, soft in places. They all came over. Sorry, my dog is barking at someone outside. Unfortunately, I knew that was going to happen. They all came over to the stand side, and the winner was in the first 2-3 furlongs from home, and most of them had taken up the running with 2 furlongs to go on the stands rail, and hold-up horses never got a look in, so it would just be something to consider.
Okay. What do you reckon the ground's going to be?
I think it'll definitely be on the soft side of good to soft for day one. If they don't get any rain at all, it might go back to good to soft for Derby Day, though, because it does drain really quickly. But it's not going to be, as Andrew Cooper said, it's not going to be baking hot, so it's not going to dry as quick as it normally does at this time of year. But it's soft ground for sure tomorrow.
Okay, well, there's the going sorted then. Over to Niall now. Niall, can we get some betting on the Investec Oaks, please?
Yeah, you can. Wild Illusion is our 5-2 favourite. Magic Wand is 9-2. Forever Together is 6-1. Bye Bye Baby 7-1, Perfect Clarity 7-1, and 10-1 bar.
Okay, now starting off with you, seeing as you have such a ridiculous record, as I mentioned in these podcasts, do you think the favourite can be beaten here?
Yeah, I think she can be beaten. I do think she's very solid. Just Godolphin's recent record in classics is just enough to put me off at the price. Mm. I've actually backed 2 in the race, and they happen to be Aidan O'Brien's 4th and 5th string, which probably isn't very smart. The first one is Bye Bye Baby. Yeah, I'm a little bit worried that Jamie Heffernan isn't on because he's won on her twice. But Wayne Lorden's a decent jockey booking. She hammered Alton Order last season on good to soft. And then this season she beat the highly touted Jager last time on soft ground. I think she'll go well. The other one I backed is just a big price. I thought Flattering, 33-1. Porrick Beggy won the Derby last year, rides. She hacked up on heavy at Cork. And I think she'll reverse the form from Linkfield with Perfect Clarity, who seemed to really relish the good to firm ground last time. The Musidora form I don't really rate that highly, and Chester I thought was one of the weakest looking trials on paper, although I respect the Rhymers and Magic Wand. But yeah, it's a Bye Bye Baby for me, with an each way saver and Flattering.
Okay, excellent. Keels, you're not worried about Godolphin's recent records in the classics, are you?
No, not really. I mean, look, I was looking at a race earlier in the week, and I was trying desperately to find something to oppose her with. And, you know, I'd half come down to Athena, who doesn't run, simply because I think she's crying out for a real stamina test. And I thought that newbie trial was probably the best one, that was won by Sea of Class, who was not running. Mm. And then I got to the point, well, hang on a minute. Wild Illusion, she's officially £4 better than Bye Bye Baby. She's officially £9 better than the rest. She was 4th in the Guineas. None of these would ever have got close to being 4th in the Guineas. And she's out of a two. She's out of a dam who won over 2 miles. She loves soft ground. I mean, she's basically just got everything. She's the best horse in the race. If this was a run-of-the-mill listed race, she'd be nearer even money than 5-2. And you know, it's a gift horse that I'm not gonna give up on. I think, and it's just got to be backed.
Okay, so you've made it all quite simple there. What's he? Who are you in agreement with?
I'm kind of in agreement with Paul. I mean, it's not Wild Illusion's fault that she's trained at Godolphin, and it's not a reason to dismiss her. And she's got very good form. Understandable favourite. It's funny, I've flip-flopped on this race quite a few times. I was getting quite turned on by the chances of Perfect Clarity recently. She does. I know Niall mentioned about the ground, and she did win on good to firm at Lingfield last time, but she does come from a real soft ground family. Mm-hmm. Paul will remember some of her ancestors, like Bulaxi, Claxon, who both actually ran in the Oaks and got beaten in it. They were a grand dam, I think, and a the generation before that. So it's a real interesting pedigree that Perfect Clarity has got. But she won the race nicely at Lingfield last time on good to firm ground. I think she might be even better suited by a bit of dig. Mm. So I certainly wouldn't dismiss her. And I did agree with Niall about Bye Bye Baby. I was kind of... Aidan O'Brien's horses in this, it's difficult to,
really
know where they're coming from, really. I wasn't overly impressed with the Chester form, because both Magic Wand and Forever Together before that hadn't really done very much at all. Happily is meant to be one of his best three-year-old fillies. She's got beaten in both guineas this season, so maybe that all of them aren't up to much. But the one who did interest me was Bye Bye Baby, who's Damn Remember When. I think was second behind Snowfair in the Oaks a few years ago. Real good middle distance jeans in her. And a really nice win on kind of similar-ish ground to probably what we'll get at Epsom tomorrow, last time out in the blue wind. So I think Bye Bye Baby, just for me, shades it. I've kind of gone off Perfect Clarity a little bit. Like I said, you go back in the breeding, two of his kind of quite close relatives have both failed in the Oaks, so can she overturn that? I don't know. I'll stick with Bye Bye Baby.
Yeah, I must admit, I mean, out of all the O'Briens, that would be the one I like. Now, you know, this Magic Wand, I mean, I don't really get it. Like the others, I don't think the form was very strong. She, you know, that was on good ground. She had a fairly high carriage, and if you look at her pedigree, she's very closely related to Chiquita, who won an Irish Oaks, but was an absolute nutcase. So, what's she going to be like in the prelims and on the track? And then she's also run twice in her life on really bad ground and got hammered both times. I was quite surprised to see Ryan Moore on there, although I suppose as he was a wide margin winner of a trial, he has to be. But, I mean, I think it's a terrible price.
Okay, that's interesting. Any final thoughts now before we move on?
Not for me.
Not from you. Okay, we'll move on to the rest of the Epsom card after this.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to cover the 2 o'clock Investec Woodcut EBF stakes. And next, Niall, can we get some betting, please?
Yeah, Marie's Diamond is our 3-1 favourite. True Belief, 7-2. Mendoza, 5-1. It's the Only Way, 11-2. Usain Bolt, 15-2. And 9-1 bar.
This is a really tricky contest, Watsy. I don't know about you, but when I looked at it, I struggled to think very much of who I had a strong opinion about. Did you pick anything out?
Well, when I was kind of doing a bit of research and looking at the videos of the runners for this race, the eye had to be drawn to Mendoza. I really wanted to put Mendoza up because I saw the run at Newbury last time out, and he'd come from way back to run on and finish third. Really, really eye-catching late progress. And Brian Meehan's traditionally, his two-year-olds normally need a run to get going. So that was a really interesting performance. The fact that he was so green first time out, I'm not sure Epsom's the ideal track for him to go to next time. This is a really tricky race for two-year-olds, often very inexperienced, first sight of Epsom or anything like, Epsom racecourse. They wouldn't have seen much like this.
No.
So I think it's a race maybe for a slightly more experienced horse than Mendoza. You've got to be drawn by Mark Johnston's record in this race. I think he first won it in 95 and he's won it 6 times in total, including last season as well. Marie's Diamond has won with Dig in the Ground, first start at Leicester. I think it was officially heavy. Totally different ground at Newbury last time out, but still ran well behind the Irish Rover to finish third. Not much between him and the Hannon horse on that form. The Hannon horse was about a nose adrift in fourth, so might not be much between them again. But Johnston's record, the soft ground, the fact that Marie's Diamond has had 2 runs already, so experience should have enough in the bank on that score, just sways me towards that. But it's with a heavy heart that I give up on Mendoza. Not give up on him, but don't tip him this time, because I thought he was very eye-catching last time.
Kiehl's, what's his tip touched on there, how this race asks some different questions of the young horses. Do you look for one that's experienced, or are you literally just looking for the best horse in the race?
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't tip Mendoza myself, but I mean, Brian Meehan's horses tend to come on an absolute bundle for their first run anyway, so I mean, that would bother me in the slightest. But the history of the race, loads of horses have come this from a place in a maiden and won, so, you know, on their first start. That wouldn't worry me. I mean, the one horse that confuses me is this Marie's Diamond, who's favourite, because when he ran first of all at Leicester, he looked like he was going to scoot clear and win by miles, but he tied up near the end and only won by a length and a quarter. And then last time he lost second close home over 6 furlongs. And you think, does he want that far? Then you look at his pedigree and he probably wants a mile and a quarter next year. Like, you know, so it's hard to say. I don't think any of the form is that strong. One that interests me is True Belief. He's a big, strong acceleration colt owned by Godolphin, who, believe it or not, are having their first ever runner in this race. Couldn't believe it when I went through looking through. They've never had a runner in this race before. Mm. He was made 11-8 favourite at York on his debut last time, but he missed the break. He got hampered late on. The more experienced winner has gone in again since. So I think the form is okay, if nothing special. But then again, none of the form in this race is anything special anyway. And I think he's shaped as though he might do with a bit of cut as well, rather than the really fast ground that he had there. So it'd be my stab at the race, but not one that would be particularly confident.
No Royal Ascot picks here then, do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, the race lost its listed status a couple of years ago, but, you know, Burattino won it in 2016. Well, it lost its listed status last year. Burattino won it in 2016. Card Sharp, who got awarded it last year, was third in the Norfolk. So it's not a race to rule out, but you'd like to see something put up a good performance.
Okay, and Niall, over to you.
I found this tricky. I thought the two maidens down the bottom, getting weight, looked the most likely winners. And my margin preference was for Mendoza, who the lads were talking about. I thought he's very eye-catching at Newbury, and on breeding, he should be okay on softer ground. I wouldn't be going mad punting here, though.
Okay, so quite a tricky race then. Moving on to the 2.35 Investec Click and Invest Mile Handicap. Kiels, I'll go to you first on this one.
Funny race this. You got two horses at the front of the betting, Doncha and Massam Star, I was supposed to say. Doncha hasn't won since 2015, June 2015, so we're bang on 3 years. Yeah, he's favourite. Massam Star hasn't won on turf since he was a two-year-old in 2016. He'd be more interested in a pair because he's £4 well in, having won a close second last time at Ayr. And he does have form on soft ground, but you know, I just think this race, I'm going for an outsider. And I love backing Sylvester D'Souza in races from 7 furlongs to a mile and half a furlong round Epsom, because he's just by miles the best at it. I think his overall record is something like a 30% strike rate. And at this meeting, since 2014, he's had 7 winners from 16 rides over those trips.
Wow.
2 seconds, one at 20-1 and a 12-1 third. So I'm going to take a chance on Mr. Scaramanga, who I'm not 100% sure about soft ground, I must admit, but he was fourth in the Chesham when trained by Richard Hannon on good to soft to Churchill a couple of years ago. And he's got a couple of other bits and pieces on slightly easy ground that isn't bad. He was fourth in the listed Surrey Stakes at this meeting last year, which represents his best turf form. And, you know, he's trained by local trainer Simon Dow. He's guaranteed to have primed him for this race. He, you know, he's top rate for a reason, because he is the best horse in the race. He's given £4 and more away, and he's 16-1. I think that's a fair price each way.
Okay. Niall, just list the betting for us.
Yeah, it's a 7-2 Masham Star. Dunica's 4-1. Medbourne Dream 4-1. King's Pavilion 7-1. High Acclaim 8-1 and 10-1 bar.
And are you in agreement with Kiels? Do you think this could be won by something at a bigger price?
Yeah, I had a look at Mr. Scaramanga. I was very worried about the ground, but I can see the angle. The one I liked was Mythical Madness, who also might have issues on the ground. But he was second in this race last year. He ran well in a few races in the all-weather before disappointing at York last time. So he's back down to a decent mark of 94. And he handled soft ground okay last year at Goodwood when he was running off a mark of 101 during that Goodwood Festival. A visor's been reapplied here, which he ran well in last season a few times, so I'm hoping that could freshen him up. We're 10-1, but there's about 14-1 around, so yeah, chance that.
Okay, so some bigger price selections there. What's he, are you going to join them?
No, I'm not. I'm quite a forgiving kind of guy, Maddie, and you've got to be forgiving to follow Donica in or Doncha in one more time, but I just think the way the race this might set up could help him. I think Massam Star and certainly Medbourne Dream like to go on, Medbourne Dream especially. That's what happened at Windsor last time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, he's been running well enough. He finished third over 7 furlongs at Goodwood last time out. You go back last season, he's placed in the Lincoln. I think the race will set up for him quite nicely. He's a pound lower than when he last won, admittedly, as like Paul says, that was some 3 years ago. But he has been running some good races. I think if he's ever to get his head in front again in one of these kind of races, this will be the one, because I think it does set up quite nicely for him. And like I said, he's kind of a horse you want to take, you know, a kind of double figure price in a bigger field, in a better race kind of thing, than when he's, you know, 7-2, 4-1, bearing in mind his record. But I just think the way this plays out might help him. Could just get his head in front. And like I said, I am a forgiving punter, but if he doesn't get the job done tomorrow, he might finally go on the cold list for me after 3 years. So,
finally, finally on that cold list. We'll see if Donica can finally do it. Moving on to the 310 Investec Coronation Cup. Is this a penalty kick for Cracksman, Niall?
Yeah, he's 3 on. Hawkbill 6-1. Idaho 13-2. Yucatan is 25. Wintoss 33. And Salawan is 50-1. Yeah, I think he should win easily, even though I'm not sure Epsom's his favourite track. And I probably obviously wouldn't be backing him at that price. If I had to have a bet, a chance, Hawkbill each way. He ran well in the race last year and handled soft ground. He's 6-1, and I think he'll beat Idaho. So yeah, he's worth chancing in case something goes wrong with Cracksman.
Okay, Keels, Cracksman, is he just going to win?
Yeah, he should do. Look, he's got an official rating of 130. He's only the 9th horse to carry an official rating that high or higher in Britain or Ireland since 2006, so that's how good he is. He's officially £8 better than the others. Ought to win. I might take a chance, play a small forecast on a German horse, wins toss. I must admit, I don't know a great deal about him, other than the fact that when he runs on soft ground, he tends to win. He hasn't got masses to find with Hawkbill or Idaho, and Idaho will hate the ground. Hawkbill won't. I certainly take him to beat the others, and I'll take him to beat Idaho, and therefore he only needs one to beat one to beat Cracksman, and you'll probably get a fair return on a straight forecast.
Okay, as far as the rest of the season goes for Cracksman, do you think he can be beaten at all? Are we talking Arcs, King George's? Is he going to drop back down to shorter trips?
I think it's the level of ability he showed at Ascot last year. He deserves to be favoured whatever race he runs in. Until beaten, and, you know, we might see something come out and prove to be an absolute superstar. But let's say Saxon Warrior wins the Derby. What are they going to do with Saxon Warrior? You would imagine they're going to try for that Triple Crown. So whether he would go for the Arc afterwards is, you'd have to wonder about, wouldn't you? So, you know, at the moment, I think he's the standout horse, and I can't see him getting beaten. But, you know, never say never, because something could come out of the woodwork.
Obviously. Yeah. Enables out at the minute, but if she was to return to peak form, who do you think would win?
Very, very difficult, but you've got to rely on all the fillies with coming back to form, haven't you? Obviously some of them do. Trev obviously won 2 Arcs, and Abel was brilliant last year, and she'd be getting some weight, but you know, Cracksman did look very good. He's got that sort of Frankel way about him, hasn't he? He just strides on and gallops miles clear of his rivals really, really powerfully. So I'd like to see him improve even more, and there's no reason why he can't at the age of 4.
No, definitely not. What's he, anything to add?
No, not really. Nothing at all. I think Cracksman will win. It's not a betting race. The Coronation Cup for me is always kind of a slightly disappointing race in terms of turnout and being a punter as well. When you're trying to find an angle, often you get these short price favourites in the race.
Small
fields, most of the time they oblige. And I think this is just a case of watching a kind of a fantastic horse in action and hoping he goes and does the business. And I'm sure we'll have sterner tests to come later in the season, but I think this is a good spot for him. It's a nice build-up for Ascot and next time. And he should get the job done, I think.
Okay, I think we're all hoping that Cracksman can blow his rivals away. We'll cover the final 3 races on the Investec Oaks card after this.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, we'll cover now the 3:45 Investec Wealth and Investment Handicap. Nard, take it away with the betting, please.
Yeah, Ajman King is our 7-4 favourite for Roger Varian. Another Touch is 7-1. Banditry is 7-1. Dark Red 15-2. Not So Sleepy 15-2. Barocco 8-1. And 16-1 Bear.
Okay, now Keels, what do you reckon about this race?
Right, you know, well, I've been trying for ages to find something to take Ajman King on with, and I gave up. And I hate doing that. I hate doing that in handicaps. I hate having bets at short prices in handicaps. But, you know, the more I looked at that race at Epsom last time, the City and Suburban, I thought he won it pretty easily. And, you know, very comfortably at the line. He won his maiden here on every ground. I was thinking of backing another Touch each way because he's £5 better offer, but just over a length. But then look at him. He doesn't really look like he gets that sort of trip when the ground is testing. So I'd be worried about him. I think Aswin Queen could have a, you know, could be a fair bit better than a 98 horse. Yeah, I mean, it's statistic, you know, if you like your history, no City and Suburban winner has ever won this race, and many of them have come here and been favourites, so you could use that as a reason for taking him on, but I just can't get excited by anything else.
I really like a horse called Never Surrender, and I thought he'd win at Chester last time. I think he's entered in this race. He looks well handicapped, but I don't even think he perhaps likes racing anymore, so one to abandon
that's
perhaps.
That's a worry. I must admit, I was a little bit concerned about him last year that he just wasn't that straightforward, and he does seem to be going the wrong direction, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. But he does, like, he ran good race behind Cracksman in the, was it the trial here, wasn't it? So I do like him, a big price maybe, but I'm not sure he's in love with the game anymore. What's he, any horse take your eye in this one?
No, I'd agree with Paul, to be honest. I thought he won with quite a light in hand last time. Edgeman King bent more than the winning margin suggested. That's two wins out of two at Epsom, so he obviously got no problems with the track at all, no problems with giving the ground because he did it on heavy last season. You look at the form of that last race, I think Thundering Blue was fifth in that, and he's come out won a really good handicap at York since then. He's the one going forward. The others are much of a muchness, and I couldn't really get excited about any of them. So I think he's probably better than, again, as Paul suggested, better than the 98 horse. I think he'll get the job done. And 7-4, it doesn't really get you excited, does it? But, yeah, sometimes you just, I couldn't find an angle other than him. I think he's just going to make it 3 out of 3 of the track.
Yeah, he looks really, really smart. If we're talking about end destination, how good do you think he could be?
God, that's a tricky question. Who knows? You know, I don't know what connections have got in mind for him. He does go very well with digging the ground, doesn't he? So, you know, in terms of this race, it all sets up perfectly for him. So, you know, let's see what he does tomorrow. I'm not quite sure about that at the moment.
Okay, we'll leave that alone then. Niall, over to you.
Yeah, I think, again, he could be a lot better than these. Edgeman King, that is. So I'm just going to chance one each way. Not So Sleepy, who won the race last year, and he ran a decent race at Chester last time. He's off the same mark of 98 as last year, and actually did well to win considering he was hampered a furlong out. He handles the track and he goes on the ground, so that's enough for me to back him each way. But yeah, I think the Fab will win.
Okay, Not So Sleepy for now. Moving on to the 5:15 Investec Surrey Stakes. This is a listed race, of course. Keels, I'll go to you first again.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fascinating race because it's got something that has the form to be a really short price favourite, but I'm not sure that it's the right race to be running him in. You know, God forbid, I question John Gosden, who's obviously a genius, but, you know, King Shield was staying on quite strongly when six in the French Guineas last time, and now he's dropping down to 7 furlong, and he's running on soft ground, and he got beat 5 lengths in a handicap on soft ground the time before the Guineas. Just don't think the race is right for him, so I've got to take him on. I'd imagine the Charlie Appleby thing, Aaron, would be second favourite, but, you know, he won on good to soft first time out and a maiden and then finished third to Purser. But, you know, I don't think he looks anything special in that Newmarket race. So I'm going to go for one that's a rag. Sorry, the second highest horse rated horse in the race is Rufus King of 105, but he's not running like it and has run pretty poor on soft ground. So for me, it looks like there's one for an outsider. So I'm just going to take the D'Souza angle again at the trip and back late Volta. He's got bits and pieces of form on softish ground, as short as 5 furlongs, two runs ago. He was his second, only beating a short head that would give him a chance against all bar King Shield, should King Shield show his best. But I will take a chance with him.
Okay, what price can we get on Lake Volta now?
There's no prices, I don't think.
Is there not?
We don't have that up yet.
No prices yet, okay. I imagine he wouldn't be that short.
Double figures, I think. I would be expecting double figures, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Keels, you're not Keels. What's the over to you?
I'd echo the sentiments about King Shield. You know, you looked at that run of Sandown a couple of starts ago. I think that was on good to soft and you got beaten quite comfortably. So you'd have to have queries on the ground, particularly as his favourite and he's, you know, relatively short price. You know, he is clear on the ratings, but, you know, with the ground worries and 7 furlongs, I'm quite happy to take him on. I thought Brian Means Tadbeer might be quite interesting. Admittedly, he's been running at Chelmsford this season, so the ground is a slight unknown, but a really good run last time over 7 furlongs. He split Mr. Marrakesh. I think he had Glen Devon in third as well, Richard Hughes' horse. Glen Devon went on to run really well in the Heron Stakes at Sandown last week, finished fourth in that behind Without Parole, so the form has had a boost of sorts. And I think it's a race where you can have a go at one because there are legitimate doubts about the market leader. So I've come down on Tadbeer. He's only lightly raced, only 3 starts. If you can do on turf what he's been doing on the sand, he might have a squeak.
Okay, so a race where we're trying to pick out horses at big prices. Niall, any strong opinion?
Yeah, I'm just going to echo exactly what Nick said there. I quite like Tad Beer. He needs to improve, but yeah, that form at Chelmsford, I think that's going to end up being a really strong race. Glendevin actually ran a cracker behind Widow Parole at Sandown last week. On Paul's horse, Lake Volta, I'd be surprised if he got double figure price on that. That's probably going to be about 7-8-1. Maybe shorter now.
He won't be happy with you for that.
Yeah,
yeah, King that's Sheep. The problem with doing these bloody podcasts, aren't it? Mark, your card.
Yeah, King Shield, on soft ground, I wouldn't have him. I'm not even 100% sure he'll go off favourite here. But yeah, it's Tad Beer for me.
It's a funny race, this, isn't it, Keels? Sounded like you had something to add there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be surprised if he doesn't go off favourite just because he's running a Guineas and he's, you know, he's the highest rated horse in the race by a fair, you know, other than Rufus King by a fair way. So yeah, I'd be surprised if he doesn't. But obviously, there are going to be plenty of people queuing up to oppose him if the ground's very soft.
Mm. Okay, moving on to the 5.50 Investec Zebra Handicap. Niall, have we got betting on this one?
We don't just yet.
No, not just yet. Okay. Keel's any strong opinion?
Yeah, can you leave me to last? Because this is the better than meeting.
Best till last. Go on then.
I thought you were leaving me
to
last.
Oh, sorry, leave you till last. Right, I'm slacking today. All right then, Watsy, we'll go over to you. Don't pick Keel's selection or we'll be in trouble.
Second guess it. I was quite interested. David Ellsworth's running two here. They're both in the same ownership. He's got Ripoff, who would be the better fancy of the two, the more high-profile form. But Galloway Hills is the one that interested me down the bottom. Done all his racing over 5 or 6 furlongs. This is a step up of a furlong here. But his last couple of runs over 6 furlongs, he's run really well. He was a handicap at Newmarket a couple of outings ago. And he was beaten by Tribal Quest and a horse called Yafta, who won a race since then, is now up to a mark of 100. I think Galloway Hills runs off 84 here, got Sylvester D'Souza on. If he stays the extra trip, and I had a little look through his pedigree, and there's no reason why he wouldn't, and there's no reason why he shouldn't go on the ground as well. He's got a few soft ground performers in the pedigree. I'd expect Galloway Hills to go very well, and not, you know, I think Ripoff will go, is the shorter price of the two, the Ellsworth pair, but I wouldn't be surprised if Galloway Hills turned out to be the better of the pair.
Okay, well, you've took Keels' D'Souza angle, if nothing else, so we can take that. Niall?
Yeah, I quite like one of this. I think it's going to be a price as well. Bell Mead. Now, it ran pretty poorly last time. It finished last of 9 behind Urban Fox. It was beaten around 10 lengths, but that was over a mile, which is a trip I don't think she gets. The piece of form that caught my eye last year was at Ascot in a listed race where she had it all to do on ratings, so she ran well to finish 6th, beating a neck behind 107 rated Pirouette, and the 98 rated Urban Fox was a length and a half in front of her, which would point to Bellmead maybe looking well treated off a mark of 85. Mm-hmm. And I think this could be her ideal conditions. I'm not sure what price she'll be, hopefully 20-1 or bigger, as I'm hoping I'm the only one that'll fancy her.
Okay, so another big price fancy there. Keels, has anyone stolen it from you?
Yeah, Watsy stole my thunder. Should have gone first.
Thought so. You had your chance.
No, this is the D'Souza one that I really, really like. Now, the first thing I looked at this race, the first horse I looked at in this race was Juanito Chico, because this race last year was confined to 3-year-olds, and he won it with D'Souza on board. And D'Souza rode him seven times, seven out of his last 10 runs. I thought, hang on a minute, he's not on. What's he riding? So we go down to Galloway Hills and you have a look. And as Nick said, those two runs at 6 furlongs are excellent. Like, you know, the Yafta form is great, isn't it? Like, you know, so you think, well, how about 7 furlong on soft ground then? And then you have a look at the dam. The dam was trained by David Ellsworth, Bonnie Bray. She was an absolute 7 furlong mudlark specialist. She was second in the Victoria Cup off a mark of 96 in 2012, and a couple of months later won the Bunbury Cup on heavy ground. By 2 lengths off a mark of 99. If he takes after him, got to be a massive, massive player here. And obviously, D'Souza rides. He also rides at 8 stone 2. Only done that once so far in 2018. It's his absolute minimum. He was second on Dash of Spice to Adjamin King in City and Suburban. It's the only time he's done that weight this year. He's obviously, you know, he must have had the choice of riding Juanito Chico. He's on this horse. It will end up favourite. I'm lumping on.
He's lumping on. There's the quote needed. Moving on now to our Oaks Day naps. I'll go to you first, Watsy.
If you wanted a short one, I'd say Adjman King, but being a little bit more adventurous, I'll go with Tad Beer.
Okay. And Niall?
Yeah, I was going to go with Tad Beer, but instead I'll go 550 Epsom Bellmead.
Okay. And Keels?
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, part of me wants Niall to keep his 100% nap record going.
It's extraordinary.
But it's going to be Galloway Hills, I'm afraid, in the 550.
Okay, thanks very much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with a full preview of the Derby Day at Epsom, as well as the rest of the weekend's action. If you enjoy listening to these podcasts, please rate, subscribe and review them on iTunes. We'll see you then.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.